You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a ton of stuff to get to on the program and some great guests to get to it with. Mark Lawrence is going to join us. We're going to talk some independent football. That's right. The indies are still a thing. And they've got a couple of big boys mixed in with Army and UMass. We're talking Notre Dame Fighting Irish football on the program today. We're talking BYU Cougar football on the show today. Little Army football. Little UMass football as well. Some baseball with Mark Lawrence. Coach Nick, one of the best in the business. Coach Nick, bballbreakdown.com, was in attendance at the Vegas Summer League. We'll get a Vegas Summer League report from Coach Nick, a report card. Get his take as the NBA season now officially is over. You know what? They did a hell of a job, man. And if you're a basketball fan, you know, there's been something on a daily basis for you. And there's still a couple of free agents out there. And evidently, LeBron is unhappy right now. But LeBron's turning into Ricky Henderson. Dude's always unhappy. Like, you know, the headline of the day, LeBron unhappy. I don't know why you're not the happier pizza place. Blaze Pizza is the fastest growing franchise ever. Seriously, it started with like two franchises. They got like 400 now or something. No joke. He's killing it. Blaze Pizza. I've never tried it before. It looks like kind of artsy for me. I like greasy old school pizza, not that gourmet new thin crust crap. But nevertheless, Mark Lawrence joins us, Coach Nick. And, you know, I just realized this right about as the show is about to start, actually. We're talking Notre Dame football. We're also getting back to our NFL previews. We didn't get to it yesterday. We were going to do it on Unfiltered yesterday. But we went a little long with the British Open talk, and Brent Snedeker is a scratch. He's out. Snedeker's out of the British Open. So we didn't get to our Bears preview yesterday. We're going to do that today. And Notre Dame and Chicago are one and the same. Even though Notre Dame's in Indiana, a lot of Chicago Bear fans are Notre Dame fans and vice versa. So, you know what? We're hitting it out of the park Midwest style today. We're breaking down the Bears. We're talking Notre Dame. We're talking Vegas Summer League. And, oh, yeah, we've got the odds for the NBA Rookie of the Year as well. So the NBA Rookie of the Year odds have been posted. I don't know. I'll give you one guess. And if you don't get it right as to who's the favorite to be the NBA Rookie of the Year, I want you to change this channel and never watch this show ever again. Because I can't handle people that are that freaking stupid not knowing. Obviously, it's Lonzo Ball. Ooh, Lonzo Ball. Hey, won the MVP of the Summer League, right? And as we told you, man, Lonzo Ball, he's ESPN's guy, right? So all he has to do is basically show up like half the time even and look good. Because the other half, he didn't show up. And the other half, he didn't look good. You get where we're going now with this? Lonzo Ball's got the head start already. And it's amazing. We had Dave Malinsky on, who lives right across the street from the Westgate. And this story was out there yesterday on ESPN, on the gaming part of ESPN. That the Westgate took 59 bets a couple of days ago for the Lakers to make the playoffs. They took zero bets against the Lakers to make the playoffs. So these odds are only going to go down. So if you like Lonzo Ball to win the MVP, Lonzo Ball is plus 250 right now. And this is pretty crazy-ass stuff, man. And it's something fascinating I've learned breaking down these NFL teams with our team-by-team previews. Perception versus reality. You know, you would figure the LA Lakers have had a ton of Rookie of the Year winners, right? Yeah, look, think of all the great players that have played for the Lakers, man. Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, we could go down the list. You know, Jerry freaking West. Amazingly enough, how many NBA Rookie of the Year awards have the LA Lakers won? You definitely win a bar bet with this one. One in 1958. Elgin Baylor, man. All right? Like, it's so long ago, man, we don't even have color pictures of this stuff. Like, we got to go black and white style, man. That's how far we're going back. It's absolutely insane, man, that the Lakers haven't racked up more Rookie of the Year awards. But something to think about, because Lonzo Ball, he's the guy. He's going to lead off SportsCenter all the time, no matter what else anybody does. A couple of quick hits as far as the other players are concerned. Dennis Smith Jr., dude's a badass, taken out of NC State. We talked about this kid coming into the draft with Coach Nick. He's like a taller Isaiah Thomas. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's fearless. He can take it to the rack. He can hit a three-point shot. And he's aggressive on defense as well. This kid, you know what, people, you know, the media loves Lonzo Ball, but the real NBA guys, all the scouts and GMs are saying, yeah, Dennis Smith's the guy. He's going to be the rookie of the year. Ben Simmons, who's he? Ben Simmons, never heard of him. He wasn't in this year's draft. Oh, yeah. Oh. Ben Simmons. No, I thought Ben Simmons. You mean Ben Simmons. Oh, that kid, the kid that never played? Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah, he's in the pool. He could be rookie of the year this year. He didn't play last year. Plus 300. Ben Simmons is a badass. If you saw this kid play at LSU, he's awesome. He's played with men. He played in the Australian Pro League, and I'm a degenerate basketball gambler and fan to actually watch the Australian League. Ben Simmons is a good basketball player, but Philadelphia is such a young team. You have to wonder about the chemistry. He's plus 300. My boy De'Aaron Fox is plus 900. I think there's some sweet odds for De'Aaron Fox. Problem for De'Aaron Fox is right now, the Sacramento Kings got too good. It's amazing. You know, I told you guys I thought the Kings had the best draft. They did a great job in the draft. But then after, I don't know what the hell's going on. Vlade Divac then went and shocked the world and had a great offseason as well. So the Sacramento Kings went from just sort of being a bunch of dudes that are going to shoot all the time to actually being a team that's going to compete for a playoff spot. So he's not going to get those crazy looks that he potentially would have, but he's going to have a great year, I believe. He's going to be a hell of a player. Tatum, a kid out of Duke with the Boston Celtics. You know, great scorer. We know this. You think Carmelo Anthony doesn't like to pass, man. You should see this kid. Passing is not, in his vocabulary, but it's not a good thing for you, kid, because you're on the same team with Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward. How the hell is Tatum going to win Rookie of the Year? Where are the shots going to come from? A forgotten man in all this, Fultz, Markel Fultz, the number one pick in the draft. At 9-1, isn't that kind of value? If he's that damn good, they better be that damn good if they traded up for him. But once again, you've got Embiid, you've got Simmons, you've got all these players that you're mixing in here already in Philadelphia, and it's kind of a gamble. Lonzo Ball's the fan favorite. He's going to get all the hype. But when it's all said and done, my money will be on Dennis Smith plus 300 to win Rookie of the Year. Who you got? Game Time Decisions continues.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the Rookies of the Year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show lined up before you as, the preseason in the National Football League, now just 15 days away. The Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals. The question is, will Ezekiel Elliott, what are the odds on Elliott getting arrested again before the preseason kicks off? Word is he is going to get suspended. And speaking of odds and running backs, O.J. Simpson, if you're wondering, yesterday we were kidding about the odds. Finally, we've got odds. There's odds for everything, man. But finally, we've got odds, and I'm actually quite surprised at these odds. O.J. Simpson's minus 475 to be set free. Minus 475. So you think if you think that the parole board's going to deny him his freedom, you can get plus 350. It's pretty good value right there. And, for the record, the shark is minus 1,200 against Michael Phelps. Phelps is plus 600. I still don't know what the damn format is for that thing. And we're going to get to the bottom of that, man. They're not doing a good job of letting us know. Like, they can't put a shark and Michael Phelps in a pool together, all right? So, how's this happening? Let's bring Mark Lawrence in. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. You have a section in the back, Mark, of the magazine of the Michael Phelps versus a great white shark?
I was going to put it there, but my question is if the shark wins the match, Does he actually physically collect the dough? I mean, you know, is he represented by an agent?
He gets to eat Michael Phelps.
So he gets some prime steak, I guess. That's the word.
You know, it's crazy, Mike. I actually said this years ago. It's like they stole my idea. I said, man, the only thing that's going to be Michael Phelps in a pool is a shark. And I kidded about, you know, they should have like the lanes, right? And the shark in lane one. And I was saying, you know, you just build like glass or whatever so the shark is in cage. But you can't tell a shark to go forward. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't get the concept. So what are they going to do? They're going to put like some blood and on a rope and the shark's going to. So what I understand, I think they're just timing a shark. They're going to go out in the ocean. They're going to get a shark swimming. And they're saying the shark swims 26 miles an hour. Michael Phelps swims like 6 miles an hour. Like, he doesn't have a hope in hell. The shark's minus 1,200, but I need to know the format.
Or the age of the shark, too. I mean,
yeah, good point. Yeah. And another thing is, yeah, you know, Mark, are they going to drug the shark? You know what I'm saying? Like that old show they used to do, the Wild Kingdom. I was wondering as a kid, yeah, they're getting so close to the alligator. They shot him. That's why. You know, like, they shot the poor alligator. They didn't show you shooting him. Yeah, I was thinking, Mark, the freak show parlay of the summer. OJ to get released, Floyd Mayweather to beat Connor, and the shark to beat Phelps.
Yeah, that would be a big ticket, wouldn't it? A big, huge underdog ticket. But you can nibble at that one, Gabe. I'll let that one go.
Yeah. All right. And then there were four, Mark. The independents are still a thing. They're forgotten about, but they're still a thing. Notre Dame, not forgotten about. BYU, not forgotten about. Army, hell of a season last year. And UMass, who made the jump up to play with the big boys. And they're pretty close to being on the outside looking in right now. One thing I noticed from your database, Indies have been good bowl bets over the years. Since 1980, independents are 13-6 against the spread when getting 7.5 or more points.
Yeah, they've been a real nice play, especially, as you say, as touchdown underdogs in bowl games, maybe largely because the opponent really doesn't really get up for those types of teams, except arguably Notre Dame, but the other guys are lesser lights, if you will, the armies of the world, what used to be New Mexico States, those type of teams. So plus 7.5 or more looks to be a good side take for independents in bowl games.
All right, so let's talk some Notre Dame Fighting Irish football. They're 50-1 to win their 12th national title. They're plus 1,200 to make the playoffs. The win total is 7.5, minus 130 to the over. The under is plus 100. Brian Kelly's on the hot seat right now. There's no more denying it. He's 15-15 over his last 30 games, Mark. That's not what they're paying him the big money for. That's not why he lives in that free house and gets the free cars from the dealers and all that stuff. They don't give you all that stuff to be 15-15 in South Bend.
No, they don't. In fact, a good friend of mine who passed away about 5 years ago, Tom Scott, lived in South Bend, Indiana, and I would visit him annually. And I got to know all about the university, the campus, the coaches, whatnot. Charlie Weiss, got to see his house, his chalet, if you will, what the school puts him up in. And I can imagine if Weiss's house was as big as it was, Brian Kelly's is probably a Taj Mahal, if you will. But he is definitely on the hot seat. There's no question about that. A rare losing season, not only for Notre Dame, but the Irish as well.
Now, we should note the last six times that Notre Dame had a losing season, they did go bowling the following season. One thing also, Mark, they only lost one game last year by more than 8 points. They didn't get blown out, but they did find ways of losing football games consistently. And that was one thing, actually, that I was a little bit suspect of DeShone Kizer coming into the NFL draft this year. A lot of people are talking about his upside, the talent, the arm, the intellect and everything, but the wins weren't there, and he had opportunities. It just sort of seemed like they were a gutless team last year, Mark. Like there was no fight in them. You know, they would be in games, they'd be in games, they'd be winning games. The other team would come back, they'd score, and then Notre Dame was done. You know what I mean? Like they couldn't trade with anybody. They'd either be up and then it'd collapse, but they couldn't go back and forth.
They had a little bit of a quarterback controversy there last year, too. Malik Zaire, obviously, with DeShone Kizer. Kizer proved that he is physically talented, and I think he will prove his worth in the NFL in time. I think he's young, he's unseasoned, and he'll work well working his way in. I think you'll see him as a full-time starter maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. But it was non-spirited Notre Dame football team, really difficult to imagine under Brian Kelly. I look for everything, and I mean everything about this football team to change this year.
So including the quarterback. So Brandon Wimbush is in at quarterback. He's got skills. Now he has a chance to display them. They've got a great running back in Josh Adams. They've got some studs, stud recruits at wide receiver. St. Brown is a great player. Claypool is a playmaker. The defense has talent, but the defense has actually been a big problem over the last couple of years. They've suffered a lot of injuries. They've had a long, you know, there's been excuses. And I almost give them some of the excuses. Right? You had injuries. You had a ton of kids out there on the field over the last couple of years on the defensive side of the football, specifically last year. But you've got starters back now. You know, just like with Kelly, there's no more excuses. You know, as a Michigan fan, you know, I remember the old days, man, when Notre Dame, the guys like Stonebreaker, man. Stonebreaker and Aaron Brown and these guys, big, physical. Notre Dame was a blue-collar team. You're like, man, it's going to be a battle in the trenches. And these kids hit hard. They bring it. They bring it on every down. They're not like that now. They got soft over the years on defense.
Well, they have. They got seven starters back this year. We're going to find out what they're all about. I think Brian Kelly cracks the whip on this football team this year, Gabe. They're going to go up against a hellacious schedule this year. 11 of their 12 opponents were in bowl games last year, and the only one that wasn't was Michigan State, who's going to be a mission team themselves this football season.
Yeah, and that game's at Lansing, too.
Yeah, on top of it. So they're going to be truly tested, unlike no other team in America. Arguably the toughest schedule in the country this year, but that's what Notre Dame is all about. And I think with Brian Kelly's back to the wall on this hottest of all hot seats right now in all of college football, I think they stand up and deliver the goods.
All right, so the win total 7.5. The schedule is tough. I think they can get to 8 wins, though, Mark. I think they can get to 8 wins. Now, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on this as far as Georgia, because to me, that Georgia game is a key game. I think, you know, I think they get it done. They're going to win the opener. Where do they get Temple in the opener? But week two, Georgia. Georgia goes in there to South Bend. That's a key game for this season. But I got to tell you right now, Mark, I think Georgia wins this football game. But even if they lose that game, I still think they can get to 8 wins. Let's say they lose to Georgia. They lose to USC. You know, that Miami game, kind of a toss-up, I would say. And then Stanford, they most likely lose. That would be 4 losses. They got to win that game at North Carolina, but that Georgia game could put them over the top. What do you think of that Georgia game?
I think it's going to be one of the games of the year type games here. And if Notre Dame wins this game, and I think that they can defeat Georgia here. This is a really, really good Georgia football team, probably going to win the SEC East. But nonetheless, it's Notre Dame back to the wall at home as an underdog. These are the kind of games Notre Dame wins. They start out 2-0 to begin the football season, and all of a sudden, all this ugly talk from last year, the window's closed.
Well, if they go 2-0 out of the gate, they'll get to 8 for sure. Yeah, it's going to be a big-time game, man. Georgia at Notre Dame, and it's under the lights. It's at night, too.
That's nice.
A lot of pressure. I like that. Can't wait for college football. All right, BYU, 250-1 to win it all. They're 28-1 to make the playoffs. Their win total is 8.5, kind of lofty. And, you know, speaking of O.J. Simpson, because it's O.J. week, I figure you like this one. The white Bronco sped off to Virginia in Bronco Mendenhall.
Yes, he did.
He was the white Bronco.
Yes, he was.
Bronco Mendenhall. Hey, but the Cougars kept rolling nevertheless. Only 1 of 10 teams to make it to a bowl game every year since 2005. Only 12 returning starters, but as we know with returning starters at BYU, they're older than the returning starters of the Jacksonville Jaguars are. I like that. They're like, I remember reading about, yeah, you know, this kid's only a sophomore. Only a sophomore. He's 24 years old, man.
With 3 kids, yes.
Yeah, right. And, you know, they got Mangum back at quarterback. They say he's 23. He looks 30 years old, man. Like, there's no way this kid's 23.
It seems like he's been there for a long, long time. BYU, they're a school, a factory of quarterbacks, and it almost doesn't seem to matter who quarterbacks this team. You plug them in, you let them play, and they become stars. They go on to the National Football League. We'll maybe see that with Mangum down the road also, but they're going to lose a couple of big players from last year's football team. Taysom Hill is gone. Jamal Williams is gone. So there's a lot of holes they have to plug up this football season here. 8.5 over-under is a tough total number. They won 9 games. It's the first year under Klani Sitake last year. I think they'll be right up to it the last game of the season, whether they go over or under that 8.5 wins.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think Jamal Williams has a chance to be a real good back with the Green Bay Packers in the National Football League. Hill is a good quarterback, but I think Mangum's stepping up and in right now. I can live with it. I'm more concerned about the backfield. I'm concerned about the wide receiver situation. Trinnaman's their leading wide receiver. He only caught 28 balls last year. The defense is solid. Top three tacklers are back for the Cougars. But, man, that schedule is brutal. BYU try to make a name for themselves so they'll play anybody, anywhere, at any time. But it catches up, man. They open up with Portland State, and then they play LSU in Houston, Texas. They host Utah and then the Wisconsin Badgers. They go to Utah State for another rivalry game. They play Boise State. Then they're at Mississippi State. It's a killer sked. I think they're a good football team, but I just don't see how they get to 9 wins. I think 8.5 is too high. I like the under 8.5.
Well, invariably, Gabe, there's going to be a losing streak somewhere along the way. It depends on how long it is, whether it's 2, 3, or 4 games. If it's 4 games, they won't touch the 9 wins. What they can rely on is what they did last year. They were if you look at their ratings, third best in the country in red zone defense last year. And that was because they were the second best team in the country in turnovers gained last year. So a lot of good things fundamentally to like about this team. But as you say, the schedule is murderous.
All right, Mark, let's talk some Army football. And I swear I remember this like it was yesterday, you and I talking about Army. I went to Vegas to get my Super Contest picks in, and it was Army at Temple. And I had Temple on a teaser that I would have won, Mark. And you know why I did it? Because Army was like 0-20 or 1-24, whatever it was, on the road. It basically ruined my weekend. Like, that's how it started. It was like a Friday night. That guy was like, a great way to start the college season. Temple losing to Army is like 15-point favorites. But I'll tell you what, man, Army had a hell of a year. Hell of a year last year. And not only that, you know, they beat Navy for the first time in 14 freaking years. I got to tell you, Mark, I can't recall in my lifetime, man, ever seeing a win total of 7.5 next to Army's name. I had to do a triple check.
That's a big, big number, 7.5, based all on what they did last year. And it was a great year, no doubt about it, beating Navy their final game of the season, going to a bowl. They improved their offense 74 yards, their defense 84 yards a game last football season. There was a lot to like about the Cadets last football season. But with that comes what I call the impregnancy factor. They're pregnant right now. 7.5 wins is a total we haven't seen on them in a long, long time. And I don't know if they have back-to-back 8-win seasons in them. I'd go under the 7.5 wins this year.
You talk about it in the playbook about, you know, historically after they beat Navy, there's a letdown the following season. And this season has letdown written all over it. I know they're saying, no, we could have won 9 games or 10 last year. They're talking a big game. But everything went right for them last year. Somebody passed away. They had the emotional, you know, it was one of those just magical seasons for them. You know, they don't throw much. Ma Bradshaw's back at quarterback. Good quarterback, running the option. It's a devastating attack. They got 5 guys that can run the ball down your throat. They're impossible to stop on the ground. They run for 339 yards a game. They don't throw the ball ever, but when they do, it gets intercepted all the time. 9 interceptions, just 4 touchdowns. They have to work on that. 4th-ranked defense last year, which was pretty impressive. You know the kids have heart. They're gutsy kids. They opened up with 2 home games, and I think both of them are winnable against Fordham and then the Buffalo Bulls. But then they go to Columbus, at Ohio State, at Tulane. They have to go to Air Force. I like this team. I think they go bowling again. They probably win 7 games, Mark, but 7.5 is too high. I like the under 7.5 with Army.
I'm with you on that, Gabe. In fact, you talked about in years after they beat Navy, the last 3 times that they beat Navy in a season, the next 3 seasons combined, they won 8 total games combined. This year, they have to win 8 games in one season just to cash that ticket.
You think, Mark, to get this ticket, they're already going to have to be at 8 going into the Navy game. That's
exactly
pretty
right.
Ambitious.
Yes,
and
it is.
I like my chances if they're at 7 and it's at 7.5, because payback's a bitch, and you know the middies are going to be pissed next year.
Big time, Navy will have that game circled with all sorts of torpedoes here. That's a good point. Another one you make. If they're at 7 wins going into Navy, that 7.5 total is going to be next to impossible to cash.
Love it. Love it. I'm excited. All right. Finally. UMass. We cover them all, people. We cover them all. And this mark is actually the highest point spread. This is the highest number I've ever written in a preview before. I had to like take 5 minutes. I had to figure it out. I was like, what does this even mean? Because there was a lot of zeros. Like, I don't get checks that high. I don't see that many zeros in my checks or the teams that I bet on. But basically, UMass are 2,500 to one. So 2,500 to one to win the national championship. So if you put $4 down, you win $10,000 for UMass to win it all.
Well, I keep the $4 in your pocket, Gabe. Go to Starbucks and have a coffee because there's no chance in the world. This football team isn't going to win four games, let alone a national championship.
I know. The win total's 3, and I'm thinking under because maybe we get a push at 3, Mark, but I don't see them getting a 4.
No, I don't see 4 wins for this team at all. They're in disarray right now as we talk, Gabe. They're about to become an FCS football team here. They had it pretty good going their way when they come out of FCS into the big boy waters in the FBS. They went to the MAC conference. They played their way out of that conference. They're about to play their way out of the independents here. There's no place for this team to go other than what used to be Division II, now FCS football, and that's coming up here very soon.
I got them winning 2 games. And I'm looking at this schedule. 9 of their 12 teams went bowling last year. all right, the Coastal Carolina game. They could win the Coastal Carolina game. And what was the other one? There was one more.
Well, is it Hawaii in the opener? Is that who they're playing?
Yeah, I guess maybe, right? Maybe.
Maybe. It's just that it's just a cross-continental trip for Hawaii. I mean,
first game of the year, Mark, so it's not like they're beaten down yet by the travel.
And if they're smart, they'll be there a week or 10 days early to get used to it and acclimate it. There's no reason that they couldn't do just that. So it depends upon, I think, the travel situation.
Oh, yeah, Maine.
Hawaii.
That was the one. Maine.
Maine.
Coastal Carolina and Maine. Let's go on point. Who is it, Mark? Listen, they're not beating, they're not winning at Temple. They're not beating the Tennessee Volunteers at Tennessee. They're not beating the South Florida Bulls in Florida. They're not going to Starkville and beating Mississippi State. And they've got zero hope in hell in Provo against BYU. Like, they're in a lot of trouble.
Like I say, Gabe, enjoy that cup of coffee because that 25,000 to 1 is only a dream. It's not even going to happen, and that $4 is better invested somewhere else, believe me.
We got to get out of here, but Sonny Gray on the Hill today. You're in a fade spot, right, in the newsletter today.
Yeah, just because I like that Faria from Tampa Bay real well. I think he's a real unsung pitcher here, and I think the pressure's all on Sonny Gray right now. Everybody's got the microscope on this kid. He beat the Tribe in 6 innings last start. I think the pressure comes to him, and I like the Rays with Faria. I think this kid's for real.
Hey, great stuff, Mark. Always a pleasure, man.
My pleasure, Gabe. Be good.
There's Mark Lawrence, and I'll be joining Mark Lawrence at the first ever International Football Betting Conference August 4th and 5th in San Jose, Costa Rica. For information, check out IFBC.live. Coach Nick joins us next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA Award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
All right, let's get down to business with Coach Nick, bballbreakdown.com. As Coach Nick spent the last couple of weeks in Las Vegas, Nevada for the NBA Summer League. I want to get his report card. Coach, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back in my own bed, but certainly some interesting things that were going on in Vegas.
Yeah, I know. You got out of a crazy city like Vegas to go to a real tranquil, quiet place like Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, it's nothing's happening here.
Exactly. It's like going back to Iowa or something, right? After But I,
something like that.
After Vegas, though, I guess you were glad to get back to LA.
Hey, that drive gets easier and easier with these days. Nice cars and good podcasts. I can't complain.
Yeah. It's a nice drive through Death Valley. All right, so let's talk some basketball right now. Lonzo Ball, we'll get him out of the way, and we'll talk some other guys. Wins the MVP of the Summer League. I want to ask you, had you ever seen him play live before? Because you're living in L.A. Had you ever seen him in high school, or did you ever go to a UCLA game?
Yeah, no, I did. I saw them in high school in the semifinals of the region or whatever. I forgot how we call it here in L.A. And before he went upstate and played the last four games. So I did see him there. And, you know, it's the same thing as we see now. It's that same profound effect on the game without ever having to score a point. Even though he was scoring nicely, in these games, it's his passing that really just controls the entire game and gets everybody cutting and moving. It's almost a violent reaction in a positive way from the crowd, and I think that's what we're going to see a lot of in Staples this year.
It's hard to describe to people because we hear people, oh, his vision is great. His vision is great. Yeah, I don't know if the common in layman's terms that people understand that, and I'll put it in hockey terms here, Coach. In which Wayne Gretzky, who is known as having the greatest vision and sort of hockey IQ and presence, but Wayne Gretzky stated the key to success is to go where the puck is going to be, not where it is. Mm-hmm. So, he saw steps ahead as opposed to reacting. Is that a good description with Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, I also think that part of it is he's got the balls to throw the pass. A lot of these point guards don't want to throw even a simple pass up the court to the wing and get the offense going quickly, even though that's the best way to get good scores. But he has no problem throwing that ball ahead on the easy pass. But then on the hard ones, he's throwing these baseball passes that are 60 feet in the air just over the fingertips of the defender. The timing and the accuracy is truly amazing on just those alone. And so I think that's where we're going to get a lot of the excitement, sort of that Jason Kidd feel that we used to see, or even Magic Johnson. And then it's a question of, whether he's going to be able to be a threat as a scorer out of the pick and roll. And you know what? We saw that as well. So I think that the sky's the limit for this kid.
Ball was named the Rookie of the Year favorite at the LV Westgate in Las Vegas last night. And this blew my mind. I don't know how much of a trivia guru you are, but I would have definitely lost a bar bet on this one, Coach. The Lakers have only had one Rookie of the Year winner in their entire franchise history. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it wasn't Magic, was it?
No, Elgin Baylor.
Oh, my God. That's a great trivia question. That's also kind of frightening. I guess we have to look at who won it for Magic's year, because Larry was, I think, the year.
Yeah, was it
Larry?
Yeah, I guess I had the same thing. I didn't look it up. I was like, yeah, Larry Bird. They came in together, so it had to be. Wow. Had to be. Yeah. I was thinking, all right, James Worthy, Kareem wasn't a rookie then. We go down the list, so I guess.
Yeah, you're right.
Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
Kobe was a high school kid, right? He didn't come in as a star, right?
Right, he didn't have a great, great year as rookie year, so that's a fascinating thing. He certainly is on the fast track to win that. But remember, the thing about the Rookie of the Year is it's also about opportunity. So
yeah.
Certain guys like, Tatum in the Celtics looks great, but he ain't going to get that many minutes behind all those guys.
That's exactly what I said in my intro. Tatum's 5-1. Yeah, how are you going to get shots, Tatum, when you got Isaiah and Hayward there? And to confirm, my man Warman confirms, yeah, it's Larry Bird. So yeah, Larry Bird.
Oh, it's not even shots for Tatum. It's minutes. Where's he gonna get minutes behind Crowder and Morris and Jaylen Brown, and the list keeps going.
And for the record, but the boys in the booth are on top of it today. Allen Iverson was the Rookie of the Year when Kobe Bryant was a rookie.
So makes sense.
AI. All right. So let's talk about another Laker that nobody was talking about going into the summer league, but a lot of people took notice. After the kid was as consistent as he was, hitting threes, 5-for-10 from behind the arc, stepping up with consistency on a game-by-game basis. One night, and he had 11 or 12 rebounds, 31 points in that big Saturday night game. And I'm talking about Kyle Kuzma out of Utah, 27th pick. How does this kid fit in? Is he a three? Is he a four? What do you see him? And how impressed were you with him?
Yeah, and he's long. He's tall. So I think that, like, maybe in a couple more years, this is the kind of guy that's going to play a lot of minutes at the power forward position. I think that's where we're going here. And he'll continue to get a little bit stronger anyway. The only thing I would say as far as pumping the brakes on this one is that he played, three years in college. So he's going up against guys that didn't play that many years necessarily on a lot of those teams. So I'm just not quite sure how it's going to translate when he plays against these, you know, 4 or 5 year veterans in the NBA. But without question, he looked great. Ball has a lot to do with that. Let's not ignore that notion. He made everybody look really good in that team. And so that's the only thing you got to look at. But so far, he looked really, really solid, very polished. The three-point shooting itself is, there's a lot of reasons why maybe he wasn't great in college, and he certainly wasn't. And now that the fodder line is maybe better for him, I would be a little bit surprised if he continued to be on a tear from the three-point line his rookie year, but certainly a lot to be encouraged by.
All right, so let's talk about Dennis Smith, because I said off the top of the program that a lot of the NBA GM, scouts, et cetera, unnamed GM, the quotes coming from the Summer League was, this is the rookie of the year. This is the kid to keep your eye on. This kid's the real deal. So I ask you, because I consider you one of those insider smart guys, as far as Dennis Smith, you and I talked about him. You know, we broke him down coming into the draft. But he played with an edge. He played with a chip on his shoulder. And it's easy we get lost and caught up in, ooh, the offensive stats. But the kid showed pride at the other end of the floor, too. He didn't want to get embarrassed. So he's a competitive kid. And you can just tell he's angry. He probably thinks I should have been a top 5 pick. He seems to play that up type of deal. And he could have opportunities with the Dallas Mavericks for shots as well. He's the second choice in Vegas to be the rookie of the year. Dennis Smith Jr.,
absolutely. You know, I was surprised because of that chip on his shoulder. I thought for sure in the Summer League, he'd end up just jacking up a lot of shots, ignoring open teammates. But it turns out when I watched him, he was actually making the right plays and trying to hit the open man and play within the offense. There is no question Rick Carlisle will have his offense built around enabling him to do what he does best and keeping him in good positions where he can do that. So you're right. This is another one of those opportunities. They're going to give him the keys. You know, too bad for the other younger guards that have been slowly developing over in Dallas, but that's going to be over for them because this guy is going to get as many minutes as they can play him, and he'll get the numbers without question. So, I would say he has to be the favorite for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he averaged 17.3. You think he can score similar? I'm sort of thinking, you know, is that a little high? Is he, you know, 15, 14, 15 a game type guy? But you look at Yogi Ferrell came in. They have an opportunity for kids to take shots there. They were sitting on this kid saying he's an assassin, he's a scorer. I don't think they're going to handcuff him very much. I mean, Dirk's going to get a few shots, but it could be bombs away for the kid.
Yeah, I mean, no, Harrison Barnes is going to get his 18 shots too, but I think there's lots of opportunities for him to score, and he is a scorer, so I would be surprised. I mean, if he's going to get that, you know, 28, 30 minutes a game, I would be surprised if he's not hitting 16, 17 consistently with for sure, and probably 6.5 or 7 assists a game.
All right, unfortunately, we've got a minute left, but I know that John Collins, a kid that nobody talks about out of Wake Forest, had a hell of a run. And how about the kid out of Purdue as well with the Portland Trail Blazers, averaging a double-double, very impressive, 14 points to 14 points, 10 boards. People don't realize as well is Caleb used to be a 350-pounder. He was a big, chunky teenager and stuff, and he's worked his way into shape. People question his athleticism. What's your take quickly in like a minute on him and Collins?
Yeah, he looked great. Collins was really an impressive athlete, and I just don't know how the skill is going to apply. But certainly, I would have a lot of stock in him getting really good with the Hawks very quickly and really impressing. And then Swanigan as well. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work with him and Nurkic in Portland, but certainly, he's going to have to, you know, step over a few of those guys in the front court. So I don't know if he's going to get a ton of minutes because we know that Portland's going to be gunning to, you know, win a lot of games.
Yeah, Portland's an interesting team next year. I look forward to talking about them. I mean, Nurkic stays healthy. They've added some depth. Some of the younger guys are getting better. The role players.
They got to stay healthy.
They're still screwed. it'll be fun to watch. Just like you're fun to watch. Thanks, Coach.
You got it. Anytime.
Talk Chicago Bear football when we come back.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some Chicago Bear football. But before we do, let me remind you, if you want to win money and you want to win your fantasy leagues this upcoming season, go over to rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. You get 20% off. You get 20% off. You're going to get the money back when you beat your buddies who aren't watching the Fantasy Sports Network and who aren't subscribing to rotoexperts.com. Get that edge package, man. You got guys that are a hell of a lot smarter than me. They're going to help you win you money. That's rotoexperts.com/discount, 20% off, promo code RAGE. All right, so let's talk some Chicago Bear football. The Bears shook things up in the offseason. New general manager, they traded up to draft North Carolina's Mitch Trubisky, which I think might have been the dumbest thing in the city of Chicago since Geraldo Rivera opened up Al Capone's vault. But we're going back a ways on that one, aren't we? And you know what? Trubisky actually might be good, but it just seemed to be a little bit of a reach when this football team's really not all that bad and has some other needs. There's a youth movement going on here right now with the Bears. The question is, will John Fox be part of it? They were a 3-13 football team last year, but I got to tell you what, they were a lot better than their record. All right, I know I watched a lot of Bears games last year. I bet on the Bears a lot last year, and I swear, I knew I was like that Colts game, right? That Colts game. What was the score? Yeah, they lost by 6. I was on the Bears in that game, like on the money line, man. They were leading it, like in the third quarter. They screwed it up. They screwed up so many games. You know, they lost by 3 points to the Packers. They lost by 3 points to the Detroit Lions. They lost by 6 points on the road to the New York Giants. I remember sweating that game out. They blew the Colts game. They were in most of their games before the wheels fell off late, and they had subpar quarterback play and a long list of injuries and no weapons at the wide receiver position. You know, the Bears don't suck as much as people think they do. They're 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're not winning the Super Bowl. That's not happening. They're 100-1 to win the Super Bowl, 50-1 to win the NFC. They're 28-1 to win a division. Their win total is 5.5, -165 to the under. So if you think they can win 6 games, you can get +135 back on the win total. We'll give you our win total projection in a moment here. But Mitch Trubisky is the future. The kid's got an NFL arm, all right? But the fact of the matter is, he only started 13 games at North Carolina. Before. It's not like he was a blue chip prospect and he's a can't miss slam dunk. You know, they're taking a chance on him. What amazes me is he didn't even work out for them. Like, you know, like really, it seemed to be like just like a blind date. Pace seems to love this guy. And I wonder about Ryan Pace if he's qualified to be a general manager. I guess we'll find out. Time will tell. It's too early to judge. But, you know, I'm not saying Trubisky sucks. I'm just saying I didn't like the trade that they made. But the fact of the matter is, I don't understand, why would you give Mike Glennon $45 million and then trade up to get Trubisky and then give Mark Sanchez $7 million to be your backup? You're spending like $30 million on 3 crappy quarterbacks. Like, why don't you spend like $20 million on 1 good one? Like, that's what I'm saying with this GM dude. Does he know what he's doing? Mike Glennon, I don't know. Mike Glennon blows, all right? Yeah, Mike Glennon. There was hype about Mike Glennon at NC State. Listen, I'm a big-time college football gambler. I watch a lot of Mike Glennon. I'm a Bills fan. People, Mike Glennon, the Bills. I was like, why? Why? I'm actually shocked about Mike Glennon's stats. 30 touchdowns and 15 picks in 3 years is actually better than I thought. I'm not a big Mike Glennon guy. Trubisky's probably going to be playing by December. He will have some weapons to work with, though. Jordan Howard's a freaking stud. Love this kid. He's going to be a good fantasy back as well. They struck gold with him in a 5th round, man. But it's hard to win with just Jordan Howard. The big question mark for this offense and how good it's going to be is 2015 first-round draft pick Kevin White out of West Virginia. I wasn't high on Kevin White coming out of West Virginia, almost because you look at West Virginia players. Pac-Man Jones is an idiot that shoots at people. You know, we go down to Tavon Austin, West Virginia. Erratic. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't big on White. You know, the Big 12 is not a great conference. I wasn't big on Kevin White. But the kid is fast. We're hearing good things. You know, in minicamp, supposedly he looked good. They bring in Marcus Wheaton from Pittsburgh. Interesting. I think Wheaton might be better than people think he is as well. You know, he's had injuries. He's had situations. But when he's actually played 16 games before, you know, he's been relatively productive. So I'm not saying he's a star, but I'm saying he can help the situation. Cameron Meredith is a good player, man. You know, Cameron Meredith last year, last five games of the year, he caught 31 balls for nearly 500 yards. And that was with crappy quarterback play with Matt Barkley. They also bring in Victor Cruz. Zach Miller's probably on his way out right now. They drafted that Adam Sheehan kid that nobody knows anything about because Pace doesn't know what the hell he's doing. All right, Bears defense. This is what I don't understand once again. You're a strange dude. Like, the Bears need help on defense, specifically up front. You know, people are running the ball down their throat. They gave up 121 yards a game last year on the ground, but they were ranked seventh against the pass. But Kyle Fuller's days look to be numbered. This is one thing with the Chicago Bears. Pace is coming in here. He's a new guy, and he seems to want a clean house. He wants to seem to establish, you're not one of my guys. You know, and, you know, Kyle Fuller, not one of his guys. Coaching staff already thought Fuller didn't play at 100%. Looks like Fuller could be in a little bit of trouble here. They signed the Prince, Amukera. I always screw this guy's name. What's his name? Amukamara. Yeah, whatever. The Prince. Amukamara. Amukamara. Yeah, good for you, Prince. And Marcus Cooper. And so, you know, these guys are going to be in there along with Jonathan Banks. They've got 6 DBs. Somebody's got to go. And it ain't going to be the dudes that he just signed. He's going to let the guys go that he didn't sign. You see where I'm going with this? So the Bears, they're not terrible, but I don't know what their roster's going to look like. They're really shaking things up here by what it's all said and done. Pro Football Focus has the Bears front seven ranked 28th in the league. I don't buy that. I think they're actually better than that. They actually did a pretty good job getting at the quarterback. They were ranked 12th in the league with 37 sacks last year. Now let's get into their schedule. They play the AFC North, and they play the NFC South. They play seven teams that won nine or more games last year. The good news is they open at home. The bad news is it's against the Atlanta Falcons. They're not winning that game. You know, after that, if you're wondering about that Falcon game, actually, the Falcons are seven-point favorites, and the total is 50 points. After that, they go to Tampa Bay. They're not going to win that game. They're hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have no hope in hell of winning that game. They're going to Green Bay. Yeah, that's not happening. So they're going to be 0-4. After that, they host the Vikings on Monday Night Football. I'm pretty high on the Vikings. So they might be able to win that game. I say no, 0-5. At the Ravens, 0-6. Versus the Panthers, at the Saints. I don't want to be a complete bastard and have everyone in Chicago hate me. I'm going to get enough thumbs down as it is, I'm sure. But let's say you guys are 1-7 after 8. And like I said, I like this team. All right? I'm not, you know, I look at the games. I don't know where the wins come from here. And then you're versus the Packers, versus the Lions, at the Eagles, versus the 49ers, at the Bengals, at the Lions, versus the Browns, at the Vikings. Now, like I said, the win total is 5.5. I have a really hard time getting to 6 here. I have a hard time getting to 6 wins. They won 3 games last year. They won 3 games last year. I wouldn't be shocked if they could win 5 games this year, which is actually an improvement. I think Fox is a lame duck. I think they're going to fire Fox as well. So with all this movement and all the, I think the Bears are going in the right direction as far as their stockpiling talent. But ultimately, I don't see how they win 6 games. I like the Chicago Bears to go under 5.5 wins.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. and it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Time for our plays of the day. Let's hit the diamond day. How about those D-backs, man, picking up J.D. Martinez? They're not screwing around. And they put up double-digit runs last night. Let's go back to the well with the Diamondbacks tonight. We got Zach Greinke going. Dodgers, I'm not getting in front of the Dodgers. And it's a modest price, minus 55 cents. Washington Nationals, Gio Gonzalez has been killing it. We'll take the Nationals against the Halos. I don't like betting against my Montreal Alouettes, but I think it's a bad spot for them. I like the Ottawa Red Blacks. Red Blacks are desperate for a win. We'll lay the 4 points and give us a 7-point teaser. Red Blacks plus three. Over 41 and a half. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours and mine. Later.